Talk, talking about the creek. Creek Talk, talking about the creek. Talking about Dawson's Creek.
Welcome back to Creek Talk. This is Steven.
And I'm Jamie.
And this week, we're recapping Season 6, Episode 1, The Kids Are All Right.
Can't believe it. Season 6. Ugh.
So, Jamie, we're on Season 6, the final season.
I know. Can't believe it. Me either. It's crazy.
I have to tell you, though, I don't remember any of this at all. I do remember Jack hiding guys in his room. That I remember. Mm-hmm. And I remember bits and pieces of Joey with this new professor. But a lot of it, clear out of my brain. And I did remember Dawson not being in the episode until the end. But I don't remember them sleeping together in this episode at all. I don't remember. Yeah.
I may not remember much, but I will never forget that. I knew that was coming. What I didn't count on was it leading into the episode two, mm-hmm. because I almost started watching the episode, the second episode. Like, I feel like this episode went by very quickly. But I didn't. As soon as the credits came up, I had to hit back, you know, back out of it. So I didn't continue watching it. Yeah, I mean, I forgot about the whole professor thing until she ran into him. And I'm like, oh, this dude, he looks familiar. But I don't really remember much about him, to be honest. I really don't.
I remember he has a daughter and he makes her, like, take her somewhere, like chaperone her or something.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. That sounds very familiar. Yeah. I remember the bar.
Hell's Kitchen. Which I've been to. I ate there.
I remember the bar, and I remember the roommate.
Oh, yeah.
They do end up getting the apartment. I just don't remember how that happens.
Emma.
Right.
Emma, yeah. And we get introduced to Eddie, a.k.a. Oliver Hudson. He's actually really attractive. Do you remember?
I'm trying to remember this dude.
He was the guy in the class who loved Last Exit to Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. He loved the book. Oh, and we also have a celebrity on here now.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Jack, you know, Jack Osborne.
Yeah, for one scene.
No, he's in it a couple of times.
Well, no, this episode, he was in it for that one scene.
Oh, well, yeah, the one scene, yeah. But we see him a couple of times, which was kind of crazy. Like, what the hell is Jack Osborne doing in here?
I didn't get it either. I really didn't understand that at all.
No.
I didn't understand it then. I don't understand it now. And they were trying to be like real like cheeky with the bleeping of the F-bombs.
Yeah. I had to like check my stuff real quick and just be like, am I missing something? But no, it is a kid's, you know, it's a WB show. So.
Well, no, they were trying to, because remember when they had their own show and they were cursing all the time and they're always being bleeped. I think that's what they were doing.
Oh, they were just making a joke on the Osborne.
Yeah, but it was kind of dumb to me. It was kind of silly. I don't know.
It took away from whatever conversation they were having. Yeah. Also, we got a little peek into the beginning of the end of Audrey and Pacey, because Pacey's like, yeah, I had a great time. And then he told Joey later, he's like, it was too much for me. It's exhausting. And I mean, Audrey is exhausting. That's her personality. It's the, you know what I mean? She's an LA girl and she knows celebrities and she goes to parties and like all of this stuff. And it's not really the speed for a couple of Cape Side townies. So.
Well, she also made it feel like she, like, I know she has this impending like alcohol problem, but like.
She does. Yeah. She's a pretty girl.
Yeah, they made it very clear that she's going to get kind of like depressed, I guess. And like things are just going to spiral. I can feel it.
Yeah, it's definitely going to spiral. And you notice it when she didn't want to leave the bar, she wanted to stay. She's like, well, no, let's stay here. And after spending all summer partying with celebrities and like all these people and like it sounded like it was a very busy summer. No wonder why Pacey's tired. But it sounds like she kind of gets, you know what I mean, in that that high, so to speak, where she just wants to kind of party and do whatever. But we don't really, we'll find out, just not in this episode, but you kind of start to see it. So if you're really paying attention, you could probably pick up on some of these cues that we'll probably end up seeing in later episodes to come.
Yeah. Wait, so there's one more thing I want to talk about before we like kind of get into it. I really, really like Dawson and Joey as adults, as an adult couple, as opposed to a teen romance. And I was having this whole conversation with Matt Emmert from Happy Horror Time about them, because he's very pro Dawson and Joey. And that whole scene where she was like, I really felt like she really does love him. She's like waiting to see him, and she's like staying after everybody leaves to see if he shows up. And that whole story she told about how he grabbed her hand and they ran across the street in the rain as kids and all that. I thought that was adorable. And seeing how they interacted when, you know, right before they had sex, I was like, that to me was very normal. I felt like it's been such a buildup with their characters. And I personally felt like it made more sense for them to have sex than him having sex with Jen or her having sex with Pacey. And I just think it was just more realistic. They've been friends their whole life. They've been having this like back and forth about like where they're supposed to be in their relationship. And they finally just like, it just happens. It wasn't like this big thing. They just did it. And right. I don't know. I kind of appreciated it. I really liked it, honestly.
I'm pretty sure that knowing most likely that this is probably going to be their last season, they wanted to give their viewers what they've been asking for this whole time. I do agree. It was really cute. They have a lot of history. So the fact that they have these little memories and stuff, like, I love it. But at the same time, I'm still not buying what they were trying to sell. It is a natural thing. You know what I mean? They were hanging out. One thing leads to another. That's a total normal thing that happens. Totally agree. But I just wasn't in it. I wasn't feeling it.
I'm just glad that I'm going to be able to sit and watch this last season at my age and really watch it and pick up on the things that I didn't pick up when I watched it back then. Because honestly, I feel like this last season sort of just like flew by and I don't remember a lot of it. And I just was probably just watching it out of like loyalty at that point, because, you know, I didn't remember this. So I'm very excited to see where it goes. And I'm really curious to see like how I'll feel knowing that she ends up with Pacey at the end, when they've been doing this whole thing now with season 5 and this whole beginning of this season now with her and Dawson. So I'm kind of confused, but I'm also kind of like excited to see where it goes. So
do you think that they had chemistry, like compared to
I think she has chemistry. Honestly, now I think she does. I thought they had chemistry in season 2 for a little bit. And then it kind of just got lost because she was always angry. And I didn't feel like she even liked him. And then I think she's got great chemistry with Pacey. Even the scene bar.
I feel like everybody has great chemistry with Joshua Jackson. He is just one of those actors that like can pull it off no matter what. In my opinion, everything that I've seen him in, you know, for the most part, like he's really good at portraying that. I still don't see the chemistry with Joey and Dawson. Like, I don't see it.
Because you're so hooked on the other two. That's why.
I don't know though, because I'm paying attention, especially this time around. Like, I take a step back, understanding what it is. And I don't feel it.
Even the scene where they're in the bar and Pacey's like, do you remember the summer we had together? And she's like, yeah. Like, how can I forget?
Yeah. Like, I have vague recollection or something. She says, yeah.
And he just looks at her for a second. That was like, that was cool. I like that, because he's sort of like, yeah, we have that moment. That we have those moments. You know what I mean?
Well, they had that moment. And I think that was the whole point of comparison between them, because you have a couple that didn't want their summer to end. And then he's got this other serious relationship that he's in where he is like, I'm kind of done, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he's comparing, But he was reminiscing for sure. Like, remember that wonderful summer that we had? We didn't want to end. Well, this is like not that. I don't think I'll ever see the chemistry with Dawson and Joey. Honestly, I really don't think that I'll ever see the chemistry. I don't know.
Well, it doesn't matter because they don't end up together anyway, so.
Oh.
All right. Well, before we break down the episode, why don't we just do a spontaneous catch up?
As he puts air quotes around that, because we know there is nothing spontaneous about the spontaneous catch-up that we never do, but we do every week. So,
Well, Jamie, what's new with you?
what's new with me? Okay, I've got a small list here. So, if anybody watches K-dramas of any kind, Sweet Home Season 2 just dropped a handful of days ago, like a week ago, I guess. I don't know, but I binged it. Okay, binged it. Because I love Sweet Home. The first one's great. The second one's even also great. It's monsters, guys. Creepy monsters. It's gory. It makes no sense. I love every second of it. Also, another one, if you guys like zombies, but like cheesy, cheesy ones that are like kind of funny and stupid, but gory, definitely check out Reality Z. It's on Netflix. It takes place in Rio. So it is in another, it's also in another language, but you can, you know, if you can't read subtitles, it's dubbed over. You can watch it then too. It is hysterically crazy. Like, it's gross, but it's funny at the same time. It's not a serious zombie show. There's two seasons of that. So definitely check that out. Also, Steven, I tried Night of the Demons, the like 88 film, I think it was, or something. We tried. I just
I'm so
couldn't.
disappointed.
I couldn't. I might try the remake. I think there was a 2020 version or a 2018, something like that. There was one that was done like a handful of years ago. I might try giving the newer version a whirl. But oh, dude, it was hard. It was really hard to watch. I think a lot of it had to do with the style. And I mean, I love the 80s, but I could never get into the makeup from the 80s, like ever. And it was just hard to it was hard to watch, man. It was hard
That
to watch.
movie creeped me out when I was a kid, and I really,
Really?
yeah. And now watching it as an adult, it is so silly, but
Yeah,
it's just one of those
it's
like
hard.
dumb, campy horror movies that I really, really like. And wait, so did you
Yeah.
guys know the part where the girl puts the lipstick in her nipple?
No.
You didn't even see that part.
I couldn't, dude. I got to the scene where they were doing the mirror thing, and then the light goes out and it comes back. There's like a creepy thing. The girl freaks out, knocks the mirror over, and it shatters. And as soon as she did that, I'm like, oh, well, whatever was in the mirror is released, and I know where this is going. And then I lost interest. I couldn't focus on the movie. I started doing other things. We were on our phones. We were talking. We weren't paying attention to the movie. So I was like, just turn it off.
You
Like,
didn't
this is,
want
we're
to,
just,
because you didn't want to pay attention to it, Jamie. That's
couldn't.
why.
We watched Chopping Mall with no distractions. You know what I mean? We could get through Chopping Mall, but I couldn't get through Night of the Demons. I don't, and
Well,
it's just really weird to me because I like that kind of stuff, but I don't know. I mean, maybe if I give it another shot, I might be able to get through it. Maybe when I have a better attention span. I don't know. But I struggled. I also
How about the next movie you try is Hell House LLC? How about you try that one?
Hell House LLC. That sounds familiar.
Because I talk about it all the
True. Is it on Netflix?
No, it's free everywhere though. I mean,
All right, I'll find it. I guess I had a little bit of a productive weekend. I read the Britney Spears book. My brother sent it to me for Christmas, and I started it. I got it on Thursday, and then I finished it a couple of days later because I had other stuff going on. I wish I could have just sat and binged it. I wanted to, but I couldn't. It was an emotional book, surprisingly emotional. I left a whole review up on Goodreads.
oh, okay.
If anybody has read this book and wants to talk about it, hit me up because Steven here hasn't gotten past chapter 20 and I don't have anybody to talk to about this
I'll
book.
finish it, I swear. I promise I'll finish it.
So I need somebody to talk to about this book because it made me so sad and so angry at the same time. And her family, trash, complete and utter trash. They're trash. It's amazing what greed does to people. It really is. Like these people that are biologically engineered to love you, and they just are complete trash. The things that they did to this woman is just nuts. The gaslighting, the manipulation, the fucking control that they had over her for 13 years because of greed for something that really should have only lasted a couple months. Honestly, she shouldn't have even had that problem to begin with.
I don't understand why she ever did either.
Honestly, a lot of it, I think, was the media. You know what I mean? Because she wasn't even as far off as they portrayed her to be, and her family fed into that. And it made it seem like she was so completely out of control that she couldn't make decisions for herself, and she was a danger to not only herself, but to her kids. That is where that shit went wrong. And then she had a shitty fucking lawyer. Then they told her that she couldn't find her own lawyer. She couldn't hire her own lawyer. This is the lawyer that she had to have, and he did nothing for her. He did absolutely nothing. He had no interest in, helping
her. I feel like
I think he got paid off, honestly. He probably got paid off.
Yeah. She was just surrounded by all bad people too, and who were just manipulating her. And
all she was a cash cow, and it was a fucking shame. And I can't stand people that are like that, especially people that are your family by blood. Like, to treat somebody like that is disgusting, fucking disgusting. So it made me very emotional. Like I said, I left a very lengthy review on Goodreads. I gave it 5 stars. The book is not a literary masterpiece by any means, but that's not what's important here. What's important here is that Brittany had the balls to give her story, regardless of how it made anybody else look.
You know what? There are parts of the book that I've read so far that have bothered me are the ones where she doesn't give any information, where she gives so many shout outs to the people that she worked with. But like she starts telling stories. Like,
well, she's protecting them. She's protecting their identity, and I completely understand that. Like when she had
the bad story, though. She brings up when they were stuck in Mexico, and like there were the cartel was surrounding their like tour bus or something, and she's like, I still to this day don't know what happened, and I'm like, well, why would you bring that up then? Like, talk about what happened.
I don't remember anything about cartel.
Well, I do. And she says something about a guy that she was like going to hook up with, and then he did something to her in the limo, and she kicked them out. But the thing she
Oh, you're talking about that party. No, he didn't do something to her. He did something in general that was like an ick factor or whatever it was that he did. But
even still, she doesn't talk about it.
No, but honestly though, and that's fine though, because there are certain things where you don't need to go into a lot of detail. Maybe it was too much for her to think about. Like, listen, I'm going to support her and whatever. There are certain things where she left names out, and that is perfectly fine. Because honestly, we don't need to know all of that. So I'm fine with that. Like, completely fine with that.
I just feel like she shouldn't put it in then. I support her too, Jamie. I just feel like the things that she brings up, it's like her go-to excuses. I don't even remember to this day. But I'm like, well, why are you talking about it then? Like, why even put that in the book? Because now people are talking about it. And you're like, I don't want to talk about it because I don't remember it. So, like, how important is that?
Apparently it's important enough for her brain to not remember it.
But she remembers every single person she worked with. You know what I mean?
Well, if she's worked with them for years and years, I mean, she's going to remember people's names.
Just weird.
I don't understand.
I don't know. I just find it bizarre.
I didn't find it bizarre.
But I'm only on chapter 20. All right, calm down. I'm only on chapter 20, okay? Relax. Yeah. I didn't know you were such a Britney stan.
No, it's just...
I'm allowed to have an opinion on Britney
Spears. I know. I get what you're saying, but it's not that kind of a story where she needed to give all these details. You know what I mean? She had an experience, and whether it was a little bit foggy, like, there are things that I talk about where I'm like, I know that this happened, but I don't remember every single detail about it, but I remember more my feelings on the situation and this is why I did what I did. Like, because even she mentioned, like, with that whole thing at the car, she met this guy at a party, he was really cute, they were eyeing each other up, she went to go bring him home, something happened in the car that made her go, what the heck am I doing? No, and then she kicked him out. And that's totally her prerogative to do so. But sometimes there are just certain things people say, certain things people do. Maybe he picked his nose. I mean, I don't know. But whatever it was enough for her to go, oh, I feel uncomfortable about this. And it was enough for her to pull over and be like, you got to go. You know what I mean? So she just, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyways, I finished the book. You should finish it too. It is very good. Even if, you know what I mean, she left certain parts out, which is fine.
No, I do want to finish it. I just haven't had a chance to. I like don't ever have a chance to read anything. It's annoying. But is
What
that
else?
anything else? Anything else happened?
Yeah, I did. I actually wrote a little bit more. I finished one chapter that I was like almost done with, and then I started another one and got a big chunk of that done. It's not completed yet, because it's kind of lengthy, but I haven't decided if I'm splitting it. But I started writing again, which I'm excited about. Hopefully I can keep that momentum going. Christmas is coming around the corner, so we've been shopping. I'm not shopping anymore. Anything that comes in, that is it. I'm done buying things. My anniversary is next week,
Wow, you got a
so
lot
that's
coming up.
exciting. Oh, dude, this month is busy. It's a very busy month.
Well, by the time this airs, it'll be the new year. It'll be 2024. So
Yeah.
happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Had a great Christmas.
Other than that, now I have nothing else to say. That was pretty much my last week.
Right. For me, we had Justin's nephew again, which is seems to be like an every weekend thing now. But, he's adorable, but he's also bad. And, I don't want to be a father. That's all I got to say with that. No, I had a very stressful week last week. And it's Wednesday now. And it's like, I'm trying to, it's been a much more calmer week, I will say.
Right.
But having like a 3-year-old here who doesn't listen to you sometimes, it's very stressful. And we're trying to like give him the structure, and like please and thank you and stop screaming and all this stuff. So it's hard.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to break that, but it's
But
possible.
he's fun. Like I like throwing him around. I throw him around all over the bed and he like laughs and he thinks I'm a zombie sometimes. And then he screams and then he cries and then he laughs. So we've been going through that. So that's fun. But we took him to Five Below on Saturday night before we dropped him off at Justin's sister's, and he wanted everything. But they're playing like Christmas music and everything in the stores because it's
Is it
December.
snowing yet? I heard there was snowing recently.
I didn't see it snowing at all, no.
Okay. Somebody posted that it was snowing, so maybe it was snowing in a certain area.
I didn't see it. But I got so emotional when we were in Five Below. Just when I think about my mom this time of the year. I was like, Justin, I just got so emotional. And he was like, because it's Christmas and you always think about your mom. And I was like, I know. It just drives me nuts. But you know what, Jamie? I'm not in like any type of like Christmas mood right now. I have zero Christmas spirit. I still have no Christmas tree. I keep trying to find the tree that you have, the $40 Walmart tree, because I feel like that would fit perfectly in my apartment. So
Yeah.
I think we're going to try to go out this weekend and see if we can just get one. But I don't know. I'm like, whatever. I'm like, whatever. I'm whatever about everything right now. I don't fucking care.
It is not in the you're not in the holiday spirit.
No, not right now. Maybe it'll hit me eventually. I've been working a lot. I've been focused on other things, and I'm still trying to get things out of this apartment, but we're constantly like got shit happening on the weekends now, and I like it stresses me out. So yeah, we'll see. Maybe 2024 will be a better year. Who knows?
2023 has definitely been a very busy year for both of us. So
Yeah, it
here's
has.
to 2024 settling down.
Lots of crazy changes happened, and I think we're both trying to like, calm our tits.
Have you ever seen that show?
Is it?
It's on Netflix. It's a cartoon about puberty. Hold on. Oh, it's called Big Mouth.
Oh, I've heard
It's
that,
yeah, it's crazy, to be honest. But it's about puberty. It's weirdly accurate. Like, it's weirdly accurate, but it's like
I don't want to relive puberty. I was a late bloomer. I looked like I was 7 in high school, so.
the show is nuts. It's very funny, but they have these puberty monsters. Anyways, any of you guys that are listening have ever heard of it, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about.
Gary's like the Netflix recommender this episode.
It's crazy. I know Netflix should pay me. I mean,
Netflix should sponsor us.
they should sponsor us. Oh my God, could you imagine if they gave us our own Netflix original?
Oh my God. No, I
They just put
couldn't.
us they just put us on a stage and we'll just
And
talk.
then they'd cancel us after one episode, like they do with all after one season, after they do with all their shows.
Whatever, we'd still make money.
That would be nice. Could you imagine?
No.
I mean, I think we're fucking hilarious. So
we are hilarious. I think our listeners think we're funny. We're relatable.
All right. Well, Jamie, why don't we get into this? Why don't we dive into season six? What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. This week, we are recapping season six, episode one, The Kids Are All Right. Aired October 2nd, 2002. Written by Tom Capinos and directed by Gregory Prang. All right. So we open with Joey at the airport from last season. And she's refunding her ticket to Paris. And she's like, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to max out my only credit card just, you know, to go to Paris.
We were so hoping she was going to go, but she didn't. She stayed home.
The other thing was that they do this quick cut from like the last season to this season. And she has different hair. It's really funny. It's so obvious. Like her hair is a lot lighter in this season.
Yeah. And Pacey grew like a goatee.
Yeah. And his hair is a lot bigger. He's got a lot more hair.
Yeah.
And Audrey cut her hair and Jen's getting bangs and Jack has like dyed his hair black for like whatever reason. I guess it was for a movie, but
probably they look good though. Like none of them look bad at all, except for that goatee that Pacey's trying to pull off. I can't wait until the episode where they're like at a Kmart or something. They get locked it and she shaves it off. Can't wait.
Yeah, I didn't think it looked that bad though. I thought he looked good.
I think he looks better without it.
So she's giving us this rundown of everyone's summer. And she's like, instead of maxing out my credit card for Paris, I embrace the simple, relatively angst-free pleasures of a summer in Cape Side. And they show her reading like a stack of books on the dock next to the creek because she's Joey, because that's what she does. And she says she listened to a lot of CDs and she met a boy at the yacht club where she was waitressing.
Because of course she did.
Yeah, she goes, he was very cute and very nice until he said, I think I'm in love with you. And you hear like the sound effects where it's like a car screeching to a halt and it goes really close to her face. It's funny. She's like, I know, poor Joey Potter. Cute boy falls in love with her. How tragic. But it was a completely inappropriate display of affection. But I was like, well, good for her for like hanging out with someone over the summer, you know?
I mean, how long were they together? Because I feel like if it was like 3 months or so, that's probably about right.
Yeah, I would say 3 months. He wasn't bad looking either, but he was very generic looking. He looked like somebody
He was so basic.
He was very basic. So she says, Pacey and Audrey kicked Ellie's ass. Jack and Eric had a relationship, but Eric dumped Jack via email. But then Jack just started fucking men at Graham's house in secret. And then Jen's
parents... he had like this whole like roller coaster of guys coming in and out. But yeah, it literally said like what he started dating, like he came really far out of the closet. What's his name?
Eric.
Yeah, and then he got dumped for somebody younger and prettier.
You know what's so funny? The first guy they showed Jack, I remember that guy. The first guy they showed Jack with, he's sneaking out of the house. He was one of the PAs, I think, on the show. Because I remember he would, like, talk to us.
Oh. You mean, like, you remember him when you were there?
Yeah. And I remember when he was
doing extra work. Got you. When you were doing, like, extra work there.
Yeah. Okay. Because I remember he worked there. So, like, he would show us, like, where to go and stuff. So then she tells us that Jen's parents tell her that they're getting a divorce and Jen was really happy. She was really, truly happy. It was the most functional thing her parents had ever done. And then she gets to Dawson and she says, we didn't speak all summer, not a word, which is weird, but really not. Now that I'm back at school, what he said to me is true. My life is waiting for me out there and I have absolutely no idea what to expect. But whatever it is, I'm ready for it. Bring it on. And then we get the opening credits. But it's so funny because she's not going to have a great year, especially with this teacher. Like he's kind of a wreck.
Yeah, this teacher is something else for sure.
The other thing that I really thought was very evident was that it was very much focused on Joey. And now Joey is the lead of the show. It's not Dawson anymore. It's Joey. It's hilarious.
No, because he doesn't spend much time here. He's literally in California. They're keeping everything home base. And I mean, it makes sense because he's in California. Everybody else is over here in Boston. So it would make more sense to have all of the characters together minus one than follow one and have nobody else.
Wait, why was he in Boston, though? They never said it.
I think he was supposed to just be visiting. I don't think he's supposed to be there for long.
Oh wait, maybe he purposely went because it was her birthday.
That's true. Her birthday was. That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, because Todd, no, I think Todd is there. Or I don't remember. Well, I started watch whatever. I'm not even gonna get into it because I
So did
started
you talk
watching
about the
this.
second episode?
I know
Sorry,
I'm
I didn't
getting,
watch the second.
I'm confusing myself.
You're getting ahead of yourself. This is why you don't watch the next episode.
I know. I wanted to see how it happened because you told me he brings her robe in or something, and I was like, yeah, he did. He brought. She's like,
No.
can I have my robe?
Yeah, something weird, but then she finds out that he's got a girlfriend.
Well, did you notice when he got in, he went into the room, he was very like, do I want to do this?
Right. He was second guessing himself.
Yeah.
And she asked at the bar, which we'll get to, if you've met anybody, because she answered that question and he didn't get a chance to answer it, and it never got brought back up because her song came on.
Exactly. That's the other thing.
So
We gotta find out what
he
that
had
song
opportunity.
was, because that was not the same song that was in the original air date. I gotta
I don't
look it
know.
up when we get to it. Also, Busy Phillips is added to the main cast. She's in the main credits. So we see Joey. She's running. She's late for something because she's always running through this fucking campus. And she bumps into this man. She bumps into him so hard that he falls over and like falls flat on his fucking ass.
They're not even a bump. It's like a train wreck.
She's like a, what do they call it? A foot. What do football players? What football player would
Tackle?
do that? Yeah.
A tackle? When they tackle somebody?
Yeah, you know football. She
Yeah,
tackled.
you know that sport, that football. The only
Beautiful.
thing is, like, what kind of a teacher dresses like he's on spring break?
Yeah, I didn't get that either. I don't know. I don't like him. I
Me
wrote his
either.
name down too. His name is Roger Haworth. He's one of those actors who's been like in everything. So she apologizes. She's like, I'm running late for something. And he's like, you never heard of an alarm clock? She's like, I said I was sorry. And then he gets up and he's like, that's not going to unbruise my ass. So she's like, whatever. And she like disappears. So she's rushing to see Professor Hetson. And when she gets to his office, she finds out that he's running late himself. And she's just like, all right. So then she like goes into his office and then in walks the man
I
that
didn't really understand that. Before we continue, I didn't really understand how he was running late, because to me, it looked like he was walking out of the building when she was rushing in.
It did, yeah.
So how could he be late if he's facing the wrong way?
Maybe he ran out because he needed to like maybe he smokes, or maybe he like had to go to his car, or maybe he I don't fucking know. Stops and screams. We don't know.
We never know.
So yeah, he's running late, even though he's going the opposite way. So she's like in his office now, and he walks in and she realizes that's the man that she just left on the ground because she bumped into him, and she turns around and she goes, fudge. So
No.
Joey Potter of her.
Can't even curse properly.
No.
Fudge.
That would have been the perfect opportunity for them to bleep her out.
Right?
Why
You
would they
got
have
Jack
done?
Osborne showing up on this episode, and it's bleep, 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 because that's all the Osbornes do is drop the F bomb. But all Joey does is fudge.
Fudge. Super fudge.
Super fudge.
So now we have Pacey. He rolls up in his car. It's fucking dirty as shit. And
I
Audrey.
know. Clearly, they've been cross country.
Yeah. And she's like, we should probably wake him up. And he's like, do I have to? And she's like, I know you weren't keen on giving him a ride, but I grew up next to this kid. His mom and dad want him to go to Worthington. He's not that bad, is he? And he's like, he tried to tell me every time that he's seen you naked. And she's like, he's never seen me naked. And he goes, he knows about the tattoo. And then Audrey bangs on the top of the roof of the car, and up pops Jack Osborne. And she's like, you little pervert, when did you see me naked? And he starts bleeping. He's like, what the beep did you tell her? Beep, I'm English. Beep. And he's so chunky. It's so funny. He does not look like that now. It's crazy.
No, he does. He grew up. You know what I mean? They were young when this came out.
Yeah.
He
They're
grew up well.
both really skinny now. Like he looks really good now, but Kelly Osbourne is like a fucking toothpick. I just saw a
Yeah.
picture of her. But yeah, he does all those like haunting shows on Discovery and stuff.
I
I
just
love
still
it.
watch them.
Yeah, I really like them.
I've seen the episodes where he brings like Ozzy and Sharon in. Yeah, and they that, watch it or whatever.
I like
Oh my
that
God,
show.
Ozzy's hysterical.
Yeah, that show is fun. I like that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Could you imagine being neighbors with the Osbournes?
no, I would probably want to be friends with them. I'd be
Oh my
like,
God.
I want to come over to your house all the time because I love
Especially
that
Sharon. I love Sharon. I mean, Ozzy's
show.
funny, but I love Sharon. That woman is like, she's a beast. I would love to be friends with Sharon.
I would too. I used to love when she was a judge on The X Factor. She was so good on that show. So yeah, Jack Osbourne wakes up. He's like bleeping, cursing, and he's like, "What the fuck did you tell her?" And he's like, "She's like, you
What you
saw
said.
me naked," and he's like, "I had a telescope." And he says that I saw you naked, and so did my dad. Because she's like, "I'm telling your father," and he goes, "Well, my dad saw it too." And she's like, "I'm telling your mother," but he doesn't care. He's like, "I got to get out because I got to take a piss."
I feel like the best person to tell probably would have been Sharon, not Ozzy.
She would have been
Yeah.
mad. She would have been like,
Yeah.
"Hey, dirtball."
Yeah.
So he leaves. That's his only scene. Like he's at Worthington, I guess. I don't know.
We see him a couple of times throughout this section of this show, I think. I just don't remember how many, but I know he comes in and out.
He's in another episode where they're driving her to AA
Yeah.
or rehab or whatever.
Rehab. She goes to rehab.
So Audrey kisses Pacey. She's getting stressed out because she doesn't think they have a fighting chance to survive as a couple since their summer's over. And she's like, "It's back to dull normalcy." And he's like, "Why are you not following everyone else and going to class?" And she's like, "Because nothing happens on the first day." She's like, "Did you have a nice summer, Pacey?" And he's like, "It was fantastic." And she's like, "Thank you for showing me LA. And thank you for introducing me to your father," because her dad gave him a ton of job prospects. And she's like, "You weren't supposed to impress him that much." And she's like, "I don't want you to turn into some lame 9-to-5-er." And he's like, "Well, I need a job and money." And she's like, "Well, there's 8 billion restaurants in the city. Can't you just go take your pick?" And he's like, "Well, maybe I just want a shot at greatness. Like maybe this is Pacey Witter's time for a shot at greatness.
And
Besides,"
it totally is.
he's like, "besides, the party can't go on forever, baby." I like
And
the
that's the thing though. She's turning into the party girl. I think her going back to LA even for the summer
she should have stayed in
probably did
Capeside.
it did her dirty. Yeah. She should have stayed in Capeside. She should have stayed where it was because she's, oh, I want to party. Don't be lame. Don't be lame. Let's do this. Why are you going to bed? What, like, that's not good.
Yeah, like he's not in school like them. He has to be responsible and find a job and make money because his
Yeah,
mom
he needs to
doesn't have that.
survive. He needs to be able to, you know what I mean, make sure he can keep a roof over his head and food in his stomach. He doesn't have rich parents and he doesn't, you know what I mean? He's got to make his own way. 'Cause I mean, even if he was in school, let's face it, he'd still have to work. She's the only one that has that luxury where she doesn't have to because of who she is. It's just a shame that she goes down the road she goes down.
I know. I gotta keep watching, obviously, because I don't remember how it all happens.
Me either. I really don't. And I mean, we already know what happens with party girls. I mean, not even just in general, but when we had the drug issue with, help me out. I can't remember. I can picture her face.
Andy?
Andy. Andy.
The drug issue. She did ecstasy once.
Whatever. No, but she was doing other stuff too, wasn't she? Wasn't she doing like sleeping pills or something so she'd stay up?
Oh.
What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Jesse.
Yeah, you're thinking of caffeine pills.
I'm thinking
I'm so excited.
of
You got the shows mixed up.
I'm not even on the right show.
No, it's
Right.
not a Saved by
But
the Bell podcast.
Saved by the Bell. Okay, whatever. It was the caffeine pills. But she had her own issues. She did the ecstasy and she was doing something else or whatever. Like she OD'd.
She was on medication because she had major like depression and anxiety.
Anxiety and depression, and then she mixed it with something else, and then she almost died. And that was, yeah,
Well, she wanted to
that was
take.
it.
All right, I don't want to talk about Andy. I feel bad for Andy.
Don't know, they did Andy
Justice for
dirty.
Andy.
Justice for Andy. You know, on a side note, I saw this really cool video on TikTok that this mom did to explain to her young child about the safety and not taking medication or anything that isn't yours. And it was honestly, it was very brilliant the way that she did it. She had like a glass of water and then a glass of like, I think it was like vinegar or something, or it was something clear. It was a clear liquid so you couldn't tell them apart. And she said, this is what happens when mommy takes her own medicine because it's mommy's. And then she did the same thing with like something else. I think it was like baking soda or whatever. And then she put, this is what happens if like somebody else were to take somebody's medicine that doesn't belong to them. And it was like this whole thing.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, that's what happens with vinegar and baking.
Well, right. But the visual effect was very impactful for the kid, because the kid's face was like, she's like, this is what could happen. And I think that's a really smart way to go about trying to explain to a young kid, don't take things that aren't yours. You know what I mean? And it goes the same when you're an adult and you shouldn't be taking these drugs and doing these things, because you don't really understand the impact that it's having on you, your person. So anyways, that's I don't know how I got there, but I got there.
That's it's like you're fucking PSA about drug use.
That's my PSA, okay, guys? Don't do drugs.
Don't use anybody else's drugs.
Stay away from drugs. Just don't do it. It's not good.
Meanwhile,
it's just going to waste your life. You're wasting your life. Drugs are bad, guys. Drugs are bad.
Okay? Yeah, they are.
Be above the influence. Make good decisions.
So, Pacey's like, the party can't go on forever, baby. And she's like, I don't want to hear it. She's like, blah, 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 blah. And then they kiss, and he gives her this look of concern when she walks away, because she's like, carry my bags in? And he's like, sure. And he's like,
I don't blame him for being concerned, though, because she's turning into a party girl.
Yeah. Party girls, don't
they? They don't want to quit. All they want to do is have fun and fuck around.
Well, maybe that's why
OD on the weekends.
Maybe that's why she was written out of the series finale.
Oh, yeah. They never invited her to the wedding.
No, they did. Or Jen's funeral.
Oh yeah, or Jen's.
She was even there. Like, what the fuck? She was friends with Jen.
She was probably still in rehab.
Oh, maybe. No, that was like 5 years later.
She might still be in rehab. She might have relapsed.
She relapsed, maybe.
And relapsed again.
Maybe.
I don't know.
So Joey's now with Hetson in his office, and he makes fun of her for saying fudge, and he's like, "It's just so silly." And he's like giving her this really hard time now. And he mentions her birthday's tomorrow and she's going to celebrate. She's like, probably not. And he goes, well, it's just as well. Your scholarship barely covers your tuition. Do you have a job? She's like, no. And he's like, are you looking for one? She's like, yes. So then he offers her an opening for a research assistant in the English department. And he's like, you interested? And she says, sure, maybe. And he goes, sure, maybe. This is a job, Joey. A job that students stab each other in the back for. Now this is a problem. You're signed up for my lit class. And she's like, I know, I thought it looked interesting. And he's like, it's also advanced for a sophomore. And she goes, obviously you don't know me, Professor Hetson, but if you did, you would realize that my sophomore status is a non-issue. She's like, I read most of the books on the reading list. And he's like, Last Exit to Brooklyn? She's like, I didn't read that one.
Out of all the ones that she probably read, he picks the one that she didn't.
I know. I thought that was ridiculous. So he's like, I'll make you a deal. If you read it before the first class, I'll forget that you're just a lowly sophomore. She's like, okay, deal. And then she's like, wait a minute. Today's the first class at 3 p.m. And he's like, yeah. And she's like, nothing. Forget it. She like does this whole thing. They do so many close-ups of Katie Holmes in this episode. She's just like constant close-ups of her face.
Just cut to Katie.
All right. So now we cut to Jen and Graham's talking in the kitchen together in their Boston mansion. And Jen asks Graham's if she notices anything different about her. Graham's is like, no. And she's like, well, it just so happens that I'm happy. Today's my first day of sophomore year, and I couldn't be any more pleased. Because, you know, I'm usually the dour sort. And Krams is like, I didn't notice. But Jen's like super happy and upbeat. And she says she's in a really good place mentally. And she just wants Krams to know, because it's the whole thing with her parents getting a divorce. Like
she's so happy. She's apparently it's like the most normal thing her parents have ever said or done.
Yeah.
Was to get a divorce. And I mean, I guess that's what they needed.
Yeah. She's like. Those fucking dipshits finally decided to call quits, and now I'm happy.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, we see Graham's packing, like, a lunch for herself, and she's trying to tell Jen something, but Jen just keeps on talking. And Graham's is like, What's happened to my granddaughter? If you've eaten her, I want you to spit her out this instant. And Jen makes this like really cutesy face, like she's a little kid. Like it reminded me of something like a grandmother would say to like their grandchild as a little kid. I was like, that's so
funny. I mean, she is though. So is her grandchild.
Because she goes like, she's like, she makes this like.
Come on, Grams.
Yeah, it was cute. So the phone rings and Grams gets distracted because it's Mr. Smalls. And Jen helps Jack sneak out another boy from his bedroom. The upstairs
all these boys, bedroom. Man. All of, let me move this closer. All of these boys.
And I also think Jack is a top.
Probably.
He gives me top energy. And also he eats a lot. So I would say he's a top.
Yeah, you know,
no bottom's gonna eat that much food and get ready to fuck. So
right. No, that is, I mean, I'm assuming they took that into consideration when they were writing his character. But
I don't know, but it was very
evident to me. I agree. I mean, he's too, I don't really know what dictates that kind of thing, but he seems like he would be too manly to be a bottom.
That's the thing. I don't even think he's like that manly. I think he's kind of whiny.
I mean, for his character though, that's what they're trying to portray. Every time that somebody sees him, they don't believe that he's gay because I think that's what I meant.
Well, my assumption is that he's a top.
He probably is, Steven. He probably is.
Although I think if he had sex in high school, I think he'd be a bottom. Especially with that guy Ethan. I think Ethan was a top, total top.
Probably
Toby was a bottom. Toby was a total bottom.
Oh yeah, until he figured it out, you know what I mean? But yeah, well, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. So now we're with Pacey, and he's laying in Pacey's at Joey's dorm, and he's laying in Audrey's bed. Joey comes in and he's like, no matter what happens in the next 30 seconds, you do not want me staying here. And then she's like, okay, got it. So then Audrey comes in and she greets Joey. And Joey's like, Audrey, my nemesis. And Audrey asks Pacey if he can stay with them for a few days. And Joey's like, oh, you know what? No. She's like, you know, Pacey, he's kind of like a child. If he doesn't get enough attention, he starts to act out. And then there's the burping, the farting, the chronic howl. It's disgusting. And Audrey's like, oh, yeah, I get it. And Pacey's like, I'm standing right here. So then Joey's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just not party to it. And Audrey's like, okay, well, I guess you're shacking up with Grams, amigo. So then Pacey's like acting like he's offended. And he goes, well, if you put it that way. And she's like, no. Don't try to weasel out of this one now. And he's like, let's go, Liddell. So then Audrey's like, well, what are we doing tonight? And Joey's like, I don't know. We could go out to celebrate. And she's like, oh, you want to celebrate my return to Worthington?
Or her birthday, but, you know, she never brings that up. And honestly, I don't blame her for saying no, because that is still her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, staying in the room, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I would be uncomfortable.
I'm like, I don't need to hear you guys getting it on in the middle of the night. Like, come on.
Also, I she would say yes anyway, but still, it's like, I don't want to see that either.
Mm-mm.
So Joey's like, right, because that's the only thing we could potentially celebrate. And Audrey's like, obviously. And then they leave. Audrey really is so full of herself.
A little bit, yeah.
So they leave. Joey pulls out Last Exit to Brooklyn and she's trying to read it. And the phone rings. She doesn't answer it, but we get a voicemail and it's Dawson. He says he's in town and he wanted to meet up for coffee at 2 p.m. And you hear Todd in the background just yelling at him, like yelling orders to get off the phone. So she's like, should I go? Should I read this book for this stupid class that I'm taking? Or should I go see Dawson? And she's like, fuck it. I'll just bring the book and go wait for him. So she goes to wait for Dawson at the coffee shop.
And he never shows.
Nope. Fucks her over.
And she's late for class.
Yeah. Oh, God, wait till we get to that scene. That made me cringe. So we cut to Jack playing PlayStation, and Pacey's like, how do I look in this suit? And he's like, you look better than I do. But we find out that he's going on an interview to sell stocks. And Jack's like, what do you know about stocks? And Pacey's like, not a damn thing, but Audrey's father seems to think I'd be good at it. He's like, I'm a total born hustler and I should take advantage of it while I can. So Pacey sits down while Jack's like playing PlayStation and he's like, so this is life at Graham's. It's very, Jack's like, lame. He's like, yeah, probably lame. Jack's like, it's hard to have a life. Pacey's like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, you know, you meet someone, you want to get to know them better, take them someplace a little more intimate. And he's like, I don't want to get into the rest of it for you or whatever. And he's like, oh no, I get it. You don't have to explain it or whatever. I don't know. He's like, I'm a card member carrying front of the gays. I don't know.
Whatever. So
Pacey's like, you know what? We should get an apartment together. And Jack's like, why would I get an apartment with you? And he's like, well,
so rude.
Yeah, he's like, give me one reason. And Jack can't think of one. He's like, I'm finding us a place to live. And he leaves. Pacey's like, I'm gonna find us a place to live so we can have our own space, and you can bring your guys
without sneaking them around. And yeah,
like it's the fucking like military, like you're hiding people.
Right.
So now we see Jen walking into her class and she's not like paying attention, and she sits down and she asks the person next to them if this is art history. And she's like, ah! And everybody turns around and looks at her because we find out that Graham's is in her class.
So funny.
Jen's like, this is so uncool. And Graham says, I tried to tell you this morning, Jennifer, but you were just paddling on and I could barely get a word in edgewise. So she says she decided to go back to school because she attended one of Clifton's summer school courses. I forgot how much I enjoyed the classroom. So then
she never told us anything about Vegas.
I know. Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. Did she get hitched? We'll never know.
Did she fuck in Vegas?
Oh, God.
Clifton and Graham's fuck in Vegas. So
I don't want to know.
Jen made me laugh in this scene. She goes, great. So not only are you going to embarrass me into an early grave, but you're doing this for a man. She's like, shut the fuck up, you bitch. I'm doing it for myself. I thought that was funny.
It was funny.
Jen's like, maybe you should just take a math class because using that side of the brain helps with early onset Alzheimer's. And the teacher comes by and he's like, am I going to have to separate you two?
Already like getting in trouble, and class hasn't even like started.
I thought about that and I was like, I wonder if I would be okay if my grandma was in the same class as me. And
I would be psyched. I'd be like, yes. Well, I don't know, maybe if my
I don't think I would.
If my grandmother was Graham's, it would be cool because that means
that's snack. Different.
Yeah, maybe not so much my grandmother.
If my
grandmother was Graham's, then yes.
My grandma would talk about me to everybody in the class and then just embarrass me. So I don't know if I would be okay with it.
Yeah. If it was Graham's, though, I think it would be different because I don't think Graham's would do that.
No. Graham's has like gotten chill over the past couple of years. So she's like, she knows how to keep her cool. Yeah, she's grown. she's grown and she's grown.
she's grown. She's a grown woman.
She's become grown-ass Graham's.
Less Bible-y, more understanding.
Exactly. So Pacey finds an apartment for rent, and before he knocks on the door, you can hear somebody playing the drums. And when the door opens, it's this tiny little British woman named Emma, and she's played by Megan Gray. And she's like our new character of this season. And she's got like a pink streak in her hair or something, or purple. And she lives there. She goes to the Berklee School of Music. And Pacey loves the apartment. She's like,
it's huge. Expensive. Did you see that thing? It's massive.
I mean, it looked pretty big. I thought Wrecker's apartment, which was much nicer. So yeah, Pacey loves the apartment, but she's like, it's expensive. And they get off to a terrible start because Pacey's like, are the drums yours? She's like, no, they're my boyfriend's. Because it's so effing impossible to believe that a girl could play a musical instrument that they must be someone else's, right? And he's like, right. I have that a bit of
I feel like he was just trying to break the ice. Like, he wasn't trying to be condescending. She's a little bit of a bitch, this one.
I didn't think she was being a bitch. I just think he's dumb. Like, he says things that he doesn't realize are kind of, like, offensive.
How is it offensive? He asked her a simple question. He doesn't know if other people live there. He doesn't know if she's got a boyfriend or whatever. Like, he was just being like, oh, these are cool. Are they yours? That's awesome. Like, it's just a simple thing.
I mean, like,
I would have been offended over something dumb like that. Like, come on.
Process of elimination says she was the one in there playing the drums, and she's the only one who answered it. So, I mean, he could be like, oh, you play the drums?
I feel like he just asked the question incorrectly, but it wasn't like, I don't know. I feel like he was just trying to start a conversation and he asked the question wrong. Whatever. There was no need to be a bitch about it. That's all I gotta say.
So do you not like Emma?
I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
I don't remember anything else she does.
Honestly, I feel like she doesn't stick around too much. Eventually she moves out of the apartment.
Her apartment. She leaves her apartment.
She moves out. Jack ends up taking it over or something. Or she's like never there. I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe she goes on tour. She's in some music thing, some music program. So I don't know what she does. She
goes on tour with Charlie.
With Charlie. I don't know. I feel like she's not there very much.
Well, we'll have to see.
I don't remember, which makes me feel like she's never really around.
I know. Like, I don't remember her being on the show. It's so weird. Like, I remember her, but I don't remember her, like, story.
Right. That's why I think, like, she's not around often. Because we really have no clue.
I know. So she's like I said, the place is expensive. Are you a student? And he says, no. And she's like, do you have a job? And he's like, no, not really. And she's like, all right, goodbye. And he's like, but I have a big job interview tomorrow and I'll be able to swing it. And he's like, in fact, I have a friend who's interested as well. She's like, oh, a guy? No. Living with guys is a terrible idea. It always ends in disaster. She's like, I have a nice lesbian couple tomorrow coming to look at the place again. And he's like, yeah, but can they help you carry these drums down every time you have a gig? And she's like, by the looks of them, I think they could. And they look better than you, in fact. And he's like, all right, wow. I can take it. He's like, but let me bring Jack by. She's like, no, I don't need to meet Jack. She's like, thank you, bye. And he's like, I don't understand what you're so fearful of. Is it the sexual tension? Because I can guarantee that there will be no possibility of me or Jack falling in love with you. And she's like, what are you fucking talking about? And he's like, I realize everything I'm saying is not coming out right. And she's like, bugger off, chum. Bugger off, chum. And then closes the door. So yeah, Pacey kind of ruined his chance, but we know he's going to move in there.
Yeah, he will.
She decided to pick Pacey and Jack over Donna and Debbie, the lesbian couple. I think that was her name.
Lesbian couple. I think so. It sounds right.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't want to live with a lesbian couple either. Like, they would break up in like a month and then you'd be screwed with the rent. So lesbians always jump into relationship too quickly and then they break up and they're on to the next. They call it U-hauling.
What? I've never heard of any of this.
Oh, well, you're not a lesbian, so.
No, I know. I mean, I've heard about the jumping in the relationship part and they get married quick and I've heard that. I've witnessed it a little bit, but I didn't know the U-Haul thing. I don't know if you just made that up.
No, that's what they call it that. They call it U-Hauling because They get a U-Haul together and they move in.
I wonder why.
I mean, please.
Okay.
So then Jen and Jack are in a class together and she's like looking around. She's like making sure Grams isn't in the class as well. And he's like, give her a break. I don't think the history of pop culture is her speed. So then the professor walks in and Jen's like, oh my God, he's beautiful. And he goes, what you said. Did you recognize this actor? You probably didn't.
No.
He was in the last episode of Glory Days that we watched, the Lost Girls episode, where he's the husband of the woman that was murdered who goes to kill the killer.
That was him?
Yeah. As soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, I think he was just in that episode of Glory Days. Except he had dark hair. He has blonde hair in this episode.
Interesting.
Yeah, his name is Sebastian Spence, I think. And so he starts talking about the things they'll be studying. He's like, the films of Keanu Reeves, the rise of the WB, and why reality shows are bad for the soul. And Jen's whispering to Jack, do you think he's gay?
And Jack's, I don't know how they didn't get in trouble for talking. This one's like blasé about it. The other one just kind of showed up behind him, like, do I need to separate you? Where he's just like, just talking. Granted, the class is a lot bigger, but still, I don't know. I would have noticed.
He's like, well, I have the worst gaydar going, so I don't know. And she's like, I think he's gay. How much do you want to bet? And then he does the Professor Evil thing and he goes, $1 million. I can't even do it because it's so corny.
$1 million.
Yeah.
Stupid like that.
And she's like, done. So then he starts talk. The professor keeps talking and he's like, truth be told, I'm just like you guys, a pop culture junkie. My wife thinks I watch too much TV. And Jack looks at Jen and she's just disappointed. And she's like, how do you want it? And he goes, hundreds. I'm all about the Benjamins, baby. I was like, the amount of pop culture references they're throwing in this episode alone is hysterical. Like, he just did two in one scene. We had Jack Osborne bleeping the fucks. Like, what else was there? Like, I was trying to think of what else that was, like, big around that time that they were, like, bringing up. It was so ridiculous.
I don't know. You were recognizing them more than I was, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, because you were, like, what, 8 when this came out?
What year? 2002 are we on?
Yeah.
I was 12.
You were 12. I was 22.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got that.
I know. So, yeah, he won the bet. So Joey's at the coffee shop waiting for Dawson. She's still reading the book. She looks at her watch. It's almost 3 o'clock. He doesn't show. So she leaves for her class. And we cut to Hudson's class. And he's talking about the book, Last Exit to Brooklyn. And Joey enters and she's late. And everybody turns around and looks at her. And I was like, I wonder how late she was for like everybody to
turn and look. Yeah,
for like that whole, they were all there and that whole scene took place. It was crazy because he like embarrasses the shit out of her.
I've done that before though. Like, I was only like 4 minutes late to class once and I walked in and everybody turned and stared at me. And it was an art class. It was like my photography class. It wasn't even like an actual class. It was an elective. And it was like, I literally stopped and it was like a deer in headlights. And I just was like, hi. It was right after winter break.
I don't know. She walks in and she's just like, So her phone starts to ring and everybody starts checking their phones because now everybody has flip phones. And he's like, you want to answer it? Because if you don't, like, you got to make it stop. And she's like, I don't want to be rude. And then he grabs her phone and he answers her phone for her. And she's, like, mortified.
I don't understand why she just didn't hit the side button to mute it. Why were you just staring at it while it rang?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he's like, if you're not going to make it stop, you might as well answer it. And I mean, I totally understand it. She's literally staring at her phone in her hand.
She doesn't.
If you hit the side button on the phone, they're all the same. It would stop making noise. Like,
she doesn't know about that feature on that.
She phone. Clearly doesn't know how to use a flip phone. I don't know. I mean, I was a kid when these phones and everybody started having cell phones, and I was using them like immediately. Because I don't know if you remember. I mean, they still kind of do it today, but not so much. Like when you would go to like Sprint or whatever, the phones would be on display.
Yeah.
But they would be on, so you could like play with the features, and they don't really do that anymore. They're just like fake phones, probably because people were stealing them. I don't know. But like, I remember I was going in there, and I think it might have been like the first time we were really looking to get like phones for me. I don't even know. I had to have been a kid, and I've never touched a cell phone before, and I was like in all of it, using everything. My mom's like, you've never even used a phone before. How do you know where all this stuff is? I'm like, I mean, you can read, right? Like, it's not hard.
Gotcha.
I can read. What do you mean? I can see the setting. So I don't know. I don't buy that excuse that she didn't know how to mute her phone.
So he answers the phone, he takes a message, and he gives her the phone back, and he goes, oh, before I forget, Joey, turns out Dawson couldn't make it. He was a little crazed, but he wants to meet you and the gang at Hell's Kitchen at, like, 8:30, okay? And she's like, thanks. And he's like, my pleasure. So then he goes right back into his lecture about the book, and he asks anybody if they have thoughts on it, and he goes right back to Joey. And she's like, what the fuck is this guy's problem? So she's like, actually, I only had a chance to read one of the vignettes. And he's like, Joey, first day of class, and you've already broken a promise. And she's like, I'm sorry, but... And he says, no, he says, action, not excuses. I'd be like, I hate this guy. I do not want to, like, deal with this man.
Yeah, I don't like him either.
Like, he's so rude to her just because, what, she bumped into him? Like, so he's like, what did you think of what you did manage to read? And she's sort of like, oh, he's giving me another chance. So she answers him and she says, it was heartbreaking. The people were doomed. It's like a world where the sun would never shine. Whatever. So a guy across the class kind of like scoffs at her. And he's like, you, who are you? And he's like, Eddie.
Eddie. Well, he didn't even want to give an answer for a minute. He's like, me? Oh, man.
He's like, I'm Eddie. And I love this book. Okay. I read it hundreds of times, even before this class.
I don't think that they deserve the pity. Oh, whoa, okay.
I'm head of the last Exit to Brooklyn fan club. Okay.
I feel like every time she joins some kind of an English lit class, she gets a rash of shit.
I know, because she's jelly. She's so brilliant and so smart. But now this is going to bite her in the ass because Eddie is so much deeper and darker than she is.
I don't know.
He is very, very attractive, though. I will say that. And it's funny because I don't think I thought he was attractive back then. But seeing him in this episode, he's very cute. Eddie is played by Oliver Hudson, by the way. Brother to Kate Hudson. Son to Goldie Hawn. So, yeah,
he gives us that don't follow celebrity lives. There's a light bulb that went off somewhere in there. But I have to look at him again to see if I can actually see it, though, because
I don't think looks like her. Like, I don't think he looks like Kate Hudson or Goldie Hawn. I think he probably looks like his father.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So Eddie's like a big fan of the book. And Hudson's like, well, you got one up on Miss Potter. And then we see Eddie wink at Joey and she just gives him a look like this. She's like,
she's just glaring at him.
Like, she's trying glaring to be all like, she's like, So yeah, we're going to find out later that these two are going to start dating. And then he has like issues with her, doesn't he? Like, he thinks she's totally. Like, I feel like he's poor, but she's poor too. And he thinks
she's remember.
Better or something.
I don't remember. I do not remember.
I just always remember them fighting, but I could be wrong the more I watch the season.
I don't even remember them being together. So, I mean, really? There's that. I don't remember this.
Oh, that's a shame. You probably just were just watching the episodes for Pacey. You were like,
I mean, at that point, I probably was.
You're right. Like, God, I got to fast forward this scene. Who's this guy? Who's this chick with the purple streak in her hair? Oh, there's that British girl again. So we cut to Hell's Kitchen. Pacey's playing pool. And what is it called? He scratches in the ball.
Yeah, he scratches the ball.
Yeah. I heard your voice in my head when I wrote that down. Because I swear you told me that before.
I probably did. He scratched the ball.
Yeah. And Emma catches it with one hand because Emma's a waitress there. And he's like, oh, look who it is. And she's like,
she's probably used to balls flying at her face.
Right. Clueless. Oh, that's a Clueless reference. We get another Clueless reference later. That's so funny. So she's like, you again. And he goes, this has got to be some kind of a sign. And she goes, yeah, a bad omen of things to come. And yeah, so then Audrey perks up and she's like, who's this? And Pacey pushes that he has a girlfriend on Emma. And Emma's like, why do you keep telling me that you have a girlfriend? He's like, this is my girlfriend, Audrey. Audrey, tell her how good I am of a boyfriend I am, that I would be a great roommate.
As she low-key says, oh, you mean how great you are when you cheated on me last semester? Yeah.
Yeah, with I know, I thought that too, with the Alex, with the hot girl.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm not telling her anything. She's hot. And she's like, Emma's like, well, thank you. And she goes, you're welcome. I don't want you living with a hot girl. So then Pacey introduces Emma to Jack. And Jack's like stuffing his face. That's when I said he's clearly a top. Yeah. And he's like, Jack's gay. Jack, tell Emma you're gay. And he's like, uh-huh. Like chewing his food. And Emma's like, he doesn't look gay. And he's like, no, I really am, or whatever. Emma's like, all right, I can't with you. Like, you're annoying. I got to get back to work. So Joey shows up. She walks in. Everybody says hello. We cut to her at the jukebox. She's annoyed because her song hasn't played yet, but she doesn't tell us what song it is yet. No. And Pacey's over there with her, too. And he says something sarcastic about it being like women women folk rock or something. I forget what he says, something stupid. And she goes, "Bite me, Pacey." And he literally bites her, which I thought was funny.
It was cute, actually.
It was also a throwback to season one when she says, "Bite me, Pacey." She always says it to him. She's like, "Do you want to explain yourself about like what happened earlier?" And he goes, "Do you remember our summer together when we came back? We were all lovey-dovey and we didn't really want the summer to end." And she goes, "Speak for yourself, but I do recall something to that effect." And then he looks at her and he's like, yeah, he gives her that look that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "I wasn't unhappy that the summer was ending. Hollywood Audrey is just a little exhausting." And Joey says she understands, but she's stuck between the two of them because she says, "As your close friend and erstwhile paramour, you have to do what makes you happy. But as Audrey's close friend and college roommate, I say, you break her heart, I break your face. Got it?" And then they go back to their table. So Dawson's like, "So where is he? Where is Dawson? Where is he at? Like, why isn't he here yet?"
Excellent question, Dawson. Where are you?
And Audrey says, "Oh, Godot Leary. This is what it was like all summer. He was out the door before we got up, and he was home at midnight. Todd's been keeping him really busy." And Joey doesn't know who Todd is, so they...
Yeah, Todd. Sure, it's all Todd.
You know, not the...
Of course it's all Todd.
Not the actress he's talking.
Not that actress, right?
So Audrey fills them in on everything Dawson, and she says that even Oliver had a meltdown and left. And they're like, she's like, "You didn't talk to him?" And Joey's like, "Oliver?" And they're like, "No, Dawson." And she's like, "No, we just never got a chance to." And then they all look at her like with this face, like, what is happening? Like, she didn't talk to Dawson all summer. It was weird. I felt like they were doing this weird, obvious thing where we were all supposed to understand why they didn't talk to one another. And like, they all knew, but we didn't know yet.
I don't know. I don't really get it still. The only thing that I can think of is this is kind of what happens. Like, the last time they had this whole ordeal at the end of season four. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have this unspoken, like, oh, we're going to work this out. And then they go away for the summer and then they don't talk and it never gets brought up. And then something happens. And they did the same thing with this. Only, you know, it's the same shit. It's you know what I mean? We don't get any, what's the word that I'm looking for? We never get any closure on it. I think this is the furthest we ever got with them was this season, episode one, where at the end of the episode, something actually mounts out of it. Even though, again, they don't discuss it. And instead, Joey finds out that he's got a girl and he just cheated on her with Joey. Like, I don't know. These two are just toxic as fuck together as a relationship. They're toxic. They are toxic.
That's funny.
Friendship, great. Relationship.
Friendship never ends. If you want to be my lover, you gotta get with my friends.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
And they do. They all fuck each other.
Ay, ay, ay.
So she goes back to the jukebox and there's a drunk guy complaining about how it ate his dollar. And Emma's like, "It's not a vending machine, mate." My accent for Emma's going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
And the drunk guy says to Joey, "What are you looking at?" She goes, "A drunk guy with his fly down." And then he walks away like, burn.
As he pulls up his fly and gives her the look like, ugh, damn it, I'm a pig.
Emma's like, "That was good, mate." Mate.
You were so quick with it.
Yeah, right. She goes, I used to waitress at a place like this. It turned me into a surly wench. So then Emma's like, "Do you want a job?" This is her second job offer. And she's like, "Maybe." And she's like, "Well, let me know. All right, bye." "Nice to meet you."
Toodles, toodaloo, toodaloo.
Cheerio.
Pip, pip, cheerio.
Exactly. So Pacey's leaving. He's like, "I gotta go. I got a job interview tomorrow." And then Audrey's like, "You're an amateur." Remember she called him an amateur last season?
Yeah.
But he's like, "I gotta get up early. I gotta get some sleep." She's like, "I don't like this new Pacey." So then he leaves and she follows him out. Like, he stops for a second and she comes out and meets him. And she's like, "You're going to be annoyed at me, but you're going to love me in 2 seconds or whatever." And she gives him this key to this really fancy hotel. And she's like, I want to spend our last night of summer together in a swanky, rich hotel, so I got you this. But I really promise that I'll let you sleep. You'll get all the sleep that you can get, so don't worry. And he's like, look, I just want to make a good first impression tomorrow. And your father was kind enough to help me out. I just don't want to let him down, because letting him down means I'm letting you down.
Right.
You know, he's just letting her, he's just like just pleading his case to her. Like, look, I gotta like be a fucking adult here, Audrey. Like, I got shit to accomplish, you know? So he
I got things her. To do.
So they kiss and he's like understanding. And he finally like, he's like, so about all that rest thing, meaning we're going to fuck all night.
Was there a wiggle room with that?
Yeah. I mean, if she's just going to be there, why not? So Joey's talking to Jack and Jen about her two brand new job options. She's like, do I take the research? Research assistant? Whatever.
Yeah, something like that. I don't even know.
Or do I work as a waitress? And they're like, well, Joey Potter is going to do the right thing. You're going to get the job as the research assistant. And she's like, is that what you think about me? And they're like, yeah, it's not a bad thing. It's just who you are, Joey.
It's a Potter thing.
Is that what they say? It's a Potter thing?
No, but I mean, like, no, it's not. But I don't understand why she asked them a question and then got offended.
I know.
I don't even understand. Like,
that's a Joey.
You asked them a question and they gave you the most common sense. Like, well, you did it last year. You got the job with the research and whatever the hell you guys were doing. I don't understand what she was looking for there. Why is she gonna? I don't get it.
I didn't get it either. She's just being Joey Potter. She's like, I'm brand new, and you know, I'm my sophomore year, and I got lighter hair, and you know, I'm Joey Potter, so I gotta make a case for everything.
Right.
Yeah, they are just being honest with her, and yeah, she's just like, is that how you think of me? Like, just always a do-gooder. And they're like, yeah, Joey, that's exactly who you are. Like, why are you even arguing it? You would fully admit that you are like that.
I don't know. I don't get it. Whatever.
Well, anyway, they leave. She wants to stay. And they're like, oh, it's so cute. You're waiting. She's like, I'm not waiting for anybody. And she's like, they're like, yeah, we know. We know. Bye, Joey. Not one of them says, have a happy early birthday.
No, not at all. They completely forget about her birthday, which is a little messed up.
They're like, gotta go. So she keeps looking at the door. We got this like whole thing. She keeps like time is just passing at the bar. And she's like looking at the door until she finally leaves, and she's walking across the street, and we see a cab pull up and stop in front of the bar. And guess who comes out of the cab?
Joey. And she gets this cheesy smile on her face, like, oh my God.
I know. She okay. got the smile with her tongue. She did.
Oh,
that.
Dude. I've noticed she only pulls that out for Dawson now. She only pulls it out for Dawson.
He gets the special smile with the tongue.
He gets the special annoying smile with the teeth and the tongue.
So funny. So they go back into the bar together because she's like, they're excited to see each other. And he's like, guess what? And she goes, you're gay. he goes, that. And I was on the phone with Steven Spielberg the other day. And she's like shocked. And he goes, well, sort of. He called for Todd. And I said, hold on a second. And I put Todd on. And she says, that's it. That's the best you could do for your childhood hero. And he's like, my hands were shaking. I didn't know what to say. And
could you imagine if he like tried to start a conversation? Steven Spielberg's trying to talk to a director about something, and you just have his lackey on the phone talking Steven Spielberg's ear off about how much of a great fan he is. Like, dude, I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to be on the phone listening to this stuff, you know?
Well, if Todd was a good boss,
right,
set up a meeting where he could meet Steven Spielberg, you know what I mean? But Todd's kind of a prick, so I don't know.
A little bit.
But yeah, if I was Dawson and I was on the phone with Steven Spielberg, I'd probably shit my pants and be like, what? Because he doesn't want to ruin his professional relationship either.
No, but of course not.
It's also Steven Spielberg. You know what right. I mean? It's true, like, it happens to him all the time. But it looks bad on Dawson as Todd's assistant.
Right. Because he can't maintain a professional, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because he's like, he's taking advantage of it in a way. But he's also starstruck, so I get both sides of it. It's crazy.
Right. But if you're going to be working with celebrities, you have to, like, I don't know, have some decorum.
I guess so.
You can't be starstruck all the time if you're going to be constantly working with these people, just saying.
I know. The actors, celebrities are people too, Jamie. You're right.
They are. We have, yeah. They deserve their privacy and not to have people in their face all the time. Like, oh my God. Ask first. Jeez.
Celebs. They're just like us.
Just with a higher, you know, recognized job.
And bank accounts.
High profile job, you know.
So they're catching up and he tells her about this horror movie that he's making. And he's like, you look great. You know, people don't say that enough. So I wanted to tell you that you look great. And she's like, is this some like
LA I thought about thunder? It when I saw you when I was in the car, but you know, I didn't say it, but I'm going to say it now. You look great, Joey. I'm going to fuck your brains.
Tonight's the night. We're going to do it.
When to become one. Need some love like never make love for one. Make love to your baby.
That's funny. Two Spice Girl songs in one episode.
Look at us.
So she's like, is that some LA player routine that you just picked up? And he's like, no, it's you and me. The rules don't apply. And she goes, can I ask you a question?
Just like that too. Can I ask you a question? Yeah.
She's like, we didn't talk all summer at all. Why is that? And he goes, well, the easy answer is that I was busy and I just didn't have time. But I kept thinking about how what you said about what you said, everything would just kind of work itself out between us. And it just made me feel so good about us. I guess I didn't want to ruin that feeling. Does that make sense? Oh, I was like, he said, does that make sense?
She did say, does that make sense?
Oh, I hate that. I hate when people fucking say that.
I know. I say it all the time.
No, I never hear you say it.
Sometimes I do, when I feel like I'm not making any sense.
Well, if you don't think you're making any sense, how do you think the other person feels? If you ask, does that make sense? Well, do you think it makes sense? Because it's not making sense to me.
Well, if it's not making sense, then clearly I'm not saying it right. So then I need to reevaluate how I'm saying it. That's why I asked that question. Are you understanding me? If you're not understanding me, then I got to reevaluate what I'm saying to you.
I would just say, I don't know what you're saying. So she goes, it makes a lot of sense, actually. Dare I say we might be growing up? And she's like, you seem different, a good different, like living your dream is good for you. And he goes, so what about you? Did you meet anyone special? She's like, no one worth mentioning. And she asks him the same question. But before he can answer, her song comes on the jukebox.
Finally.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, I remember this song. But I still don't know what song it was. I got to look it up.
No, it was really hard to hear it.
No, that wasn't the real song, though. That song was like a made up song. Hold on. Let me find out what it was. I bet you it was one that I've heard like a million times. It was To Become One by Spice Girls.
Probably.
Here we go. Oh my God. It's As I Lay Me Down. That was in the episode, the pilot episode by Stevie Hawkins. As I lay me down to sleep
as I pray that you will hold me dear.
Why would they not keep that in? That's crazy. Anyway.
Right.
Well, that's interesting. I knew it was like a song that I heard before that was from the pilot. I knew it.
I really couldn't hear it. I don't know. Well, it was really hard to hear.
No, it doesn't matter because it wasn't the right song. So it's.
Oh. Well, whatever song was playing, I couldn't hear it.
They replaced it. So yeah, he remembers the song. So she tells him that it reminds her of the summer between 7th and 8th grade when they went to see Clueless at the Rialto. It was pouring out rain and your mom picked us up, but she was parked all the way across the street. So you grabbed my hand and we made a run for it. It was probably like 10 seconds, but when we got in the car, all I could think about was how you held my hand. And I was like, aw, that's so cute.
That was cute. But I mean, they have that kind of history. At least she's got that kind of memory.
I know.
Dawson's like, oh, where'd the song come in? I kind of remember that.
Yeah. Oh,
it was playing on the mom's radio, duh.
I know, the way she said it was so funny. The way she said it was so funny. She was like, it was playing in the radio, on the car. Like, you don't remember? He asks her to dance. And she's like, are you crazy? Well, I don't know. There's a dance floor, so... He goes, yeah, but the offer still stands. So then they dance. It's cute. the camera fades out and we get them back at their dorm. And he's like, I'm going to go. And she's like, don't be silly. You can stay the night. Audrey's not here. And I was like, wait, he's really going to sleep in Audrey's bed? And no. She goes into the bathroom. And when she comes out, like, however long it was, like, she was in there for like 30 minutes. He's passed out on Audrey's bed. And she gets into her bed. And he wakes up. And he's like, what time is it? She's like, it's 5:12. And he gets up and he changes the clock to midnight. And he goes, I can't wait anymore. She's like, what are you doing, Dawson? So he gives her her gift and he says, happy birthday. She goes, you're the only one who remembered. And he goes, because I'm good like that. And she opens up her gifts and it's a snow globe of Hollywood, the Hollywood sign. She's like, thanks, Dawson. And he goes, it's cheesy, I know. She goes, no, it's perfect. And he says, you know how you were saying before how living my dream agrees with me? I probably wouldn't be living any dream if it weren't for you. I keep finding myself in these surreal moments and I think to myself, what would Joey think if she could see me right now? And he says that the person in his life that makes him shoot for things that are beyond his reach is her. He says, so yeah, maybe we didn't talk this summer and maybe it'll be less and less as we get older, but I gotta say, I don't feel it. You're with me everywhere I go. And he's like, happy birthday. And then she hugs him. And it's like a long hug because they're like hugging very long. And
yeah,
he's like rubbing her back. And
I think it was supposed to like turn sexual, but I just wasn't feeling it. But they made it work, I guess.
They start kissing and they're making out. And now like he's on top of her in bed. And we just get a fade out of them like kissing in bed together. And we get the end credits. Next episode is episode 2, The Song Remains the Same. So I can only imagine what that means. Dun, dun, dun. Trouble in paradise for Dawson and Joey again.
Definitely trouble. Yep.
Which is sad because this was very, like I said earlier, I really, really appreciated this. I really like them together as adults, not as teenagers. They're too toxic as teenagers. Like, I feel like they've gotten more mature. And they kind of like understand their relationship now. And, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed. I never was a Pacey person, a Pacey Joey person. Sorry.
I know. And that's where you and I differ when it comes to this show. Cause I'm like, I just don't see the Dawson chemistry, dude.
I rewatched this show and tried to see it. And like, I did see some parts of it. Like, I did get it. But the writers are making it almost like it never happens. And to me, that's fucked up because they put this relationship like out there for this whole audience who loved it so much. And then for only for them to pretend like it never happened and bring these other two characters together again. Like, it makes no sense to me.
No, it definitely doesn't. I feel like when they wrote this episode, they had the original followers in mind. They were like, all right, I know that this kind of really turned into a Pacey thing. But I know a lot of people and viewers were upset that Dawson and Joey never got it on. So let's just give it to them. And then that'll be that. What I'm really looking forward to is the like lock in the department store scene. Like that episode where Joey and Pacey literally are locked into like Target or Walmart or something. And right. Or Kmart. I don't, whatever it is. I literally can't wait for that. I can't wait for that episode. You have no idea. I don't know what episode it is, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's called Castaways.
Yeah.
What episode number
is it? Can you see?
I can look it up.
Oh, shit. Castaways
is episode 15.
Okay. So it's, yeah, we got some time.
Yeah, we've got some time to go. All right. Well, Jamie, what did you think of the episode? Final thoughts?
I like the episode. I definitely can't wait for the next one. It was really hard for me to stop watching and not see what happens next. I like how they played that. I can't wait for the next episode. I mean, it's season 6, episode 1. This is the final stretch before, you know, the Dawson Creek project is over. Then we gotta move on to the next.
I know. I can't believe it either. I really can't believe that we're already here.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited to watch this whole season and, you know, see what happens. Because Like I said, I don't remember everything. I say that every fucking episode, but whatever. I really don't remember it. My favorite seasons are the early seasons, and it just gets muddled a little bit after that. But we'll see. I want to see what happens when she ends up with Pacey and how they do it.
I feel like the later seasons probably get muddled because they're moving around a lot. It's a lot of different scenes, different locations, whereas the early ones, it was either they were at Dawson's house or they were in school.
Right.
Like, they weren't really anywhere else. So now that they're older, they're all kind of split up, and there's a lot of bouncing around that happens. And I feel like when they do that with shows, sometimes it does get hard to catch everything because you're paying attention to a lot of stuff. So at least in my opinion, I feel like that's probably part of it.
Well, we shall see how it goes.
We shall.
All right. Well, Jamie, I think we can end the episode here. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at jlyn_booklover. And I've mentioned in the past the website for outdoor items that has just recently opened is available. It's open, so if you're interested, go check it out. I added it to my link tree, but it's onestopoutdoors.com. Go check it out. The number one, not O-N-E, but the number one, stopoutdoors.com. Anyways, there's electronics and stuff in there. Go check it out. But yeah, that's it.
And if you want to follow us, you can find us on Instagram and on Threads at Creek Talk Podcast and on Twitter at Creek Talk Pod. You can send us any type of feedback or any type of story you want us to read to creektalkpodcast@gmail.com or send us a DM. We would love to read it on our next episode. And if you're feeling generous, please give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and a 5-star rating on Spotify. It's all completely free and it really helps us out a lot. So we would love it if you did that. And if you're feeling super generous, you can join our Patreon, where at our $5 tier, you will have early access to our weekly episodes, as well as our exclusive monthly bonus content, where we are currently recapping the 2002 WB series Glory Days, which has been really fun. So go over to any of our link trees and any of our bios, and you can find everything over there. But for now, we hope everybody has a great new year, and we hope everybody is happy and healthy, and we'll be back next week with an all new episode of Creek Talk Podcast. Bye. Oh my God, I don't even know what the fuck I was saying.
It's okay.
Talking about the creek, creek talk, talking about the creek, creek talk, talking about the creek, talking about Dawson's Creek.